I want to take a moment to talk to you a little bit about the constitutions. Some people know what they are. Some people don't. Some people don't know what to do with them. And be as intercessors. This is the lifeblood of this church. You may not know that, but this will guide the next 25 years, should the Lord tarry. As far as what we're doing here is already been mapped out by the lampstand. What I mean by that is the living word has already shown us our future. Can't tell you exactly what all it looks like, but I know the components that are there. I know there's 7 pillars of revival. I know there's 8 operations of God, the apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. The intercessory ministry of intercession is diversity of tongues. That's the intercessory ministry of the apostolic government. That's part of the operations here. This is not a predominant pastoral church. It's spreading its wings and becoming what God wants it to be. Amen. He'll be birthing more and more things. So we'll see these things unfold as the Lord unfolds them, but they're all part of a world we call it a vision statement, but this is a constitution built on God's word. All this is, there's very little writing on my behalf. It's an arrangement of scriptural precedents for everything God has shown us over the past 25 years, what we'll walk out in the next 25 years. Amen. But it's there. It's designed to be a compass. It has a DNA in itself. And this DNA is designed to be integrated into all the people that will be a part of this government in the future. I say government, this operation, but it is government. It's a spiritual government because it comes out of the right hand of God. The government shall rest upon his shoulders. The increase thereof shall be no end. Amen. Sharon, she called me yesterday and gave me some really good advice. She said, you know, you really should explain what those are, because really sometimes might not know what to do with them. You can't just open one of these and start praying. Page 19, I think I'll start praying. That's not how these operate. These are precedents. When God calls somebody to have a revival, you have to labor and contend. The Bible says very clearly for the early church in Jude that they earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. In other words, whatever they received in the book of Acts, they lost it. And Jude was saying, let us earnestly contend to get that back. Amen. So when God speaks to us for his will, for his purpose, I'm sorry that I can't put on a one-line summary what this place is about. There's no possible way. You know, I threw it up on the website, but 200 messages will give you an idea of what this place is about. Amen? You being hanging out here will give you an idea. Some people come in here and say, I have no idea what he's talking about. Well, it's okay. If you keep coming, you'll understand what we're talking about. In fact, it'll get in you. It'll get into your DNA. You'll understand. Because it is a different operation. That's the nature of apostolic. Paul's teachings, Peter said, they were hard to be understood. But really, it's not that hard, to be honest with you. It's just a new culture of learning. But to understand how these operate, how these function, that's what I want to share about it. Because these are what we're going to start praying. These are what I want you to start praying. I want you to understand what's in them. What I say, contending for an apostolic king priest government, what's that mean? You know, that kind of thing. Well, it takes time to understand all that, but when God speaks to us to do something like birth a revival that's not it, that's not operating, well, what are you going to do when you're going to birth a revival? Well, first thing most places will do, we'll start having repentance services. God, come heal our land. You know, and they'll do one of those, they'll do 2 of them, they'll do 3 of them, there'll be 50 of them in the city before long. Okay, so there's a healing of the land with repentance, but then revival still hasn't showed up. So then what? What do you do at that point? Well, we keep praying for revival. Yes, but revival is ultimately released from the right hand of God, because that's where Christ inherited the power and the glory of the nations. Amen? Now, we have specific promises. What are those promises? Has God done this before? Has he used ordinary men for this kind of thing? Is there scriptural precedence for this? Well, the answer is yes. And so what we did in this constitution is created the scriptural precedence for this. So we're not just flippantly asking God for something. We're saying, look, our heart tells us, the Holy Spirit bears witness that you called us to do this. This is the precedence that you do it. That there can be a center for salvation, deliverance, healing, benevolence, worship, discipleship, the seven pillars. And each pillar has the Old Testament and the New Testament precedents that God does that. Can there be a center ultimately for 24/7 worship? Can it be a center of intercession? How God used intercessors? Can all that can be conglomerated in one place? I believe it can. It's not designed to be open in like a prayer manual and say, well, you just pray that prayer. That's not what this is about. There are prayers in the back of each one of these. It's the prayer we've already prayed. These constitutions have already been submitted before the throne of grace. They sit before God's throne. Amen? The Bible says, he that heareth the word of the kingdom, and he said, he that understandeth the word of the kingdom, he that receiveth the word of the kingdom, he that keepeth the word of the kingdom. There's four stages before completion comes. You hear the word of the kingdom, you understand the word of the kingdom, you receive the word of the kingdom in your heart, and then you keep the word of the kingdom in your heart. What does that mean? I have a word that the kingdom of God wants to manifest in this city. You think that's easy? If you've been around here for the last 15 years, you'll find that it wasn't easy. If it was easy, everybody on every street would have it. Is it God's plan? Absolutely. Is it God's promises? Absolutely. Did Jesus say we can operate like him? Absolutely. Are we going to operate like him? Absolutely. Now, how do you go about that? You go about it by the wisdom of God. And we hold and keep. We're in a keeping phase. Oh, we've already seen the release. We keep his word. We pray into the future. We hold the DNA. You read it. You meditate it. You hold it as intercessors. You got to learn this aspect of prayer. That's awesome. Oh, I come into agreement with the DNA of this constitution. I'm in the foundation of this DNA. I'm in this foundation in the intercessory prayer. And I hold the foundation of this DNA. And I call for the release of this government, for the release of the seven pillars of revival, for the release of the eightfold operations of God, for the release of discipleship, for the release of global intercession 24 hours a day, for the release of salvation into this city, 1,000 people being born again a week from this center. And you hold it and make it part of your DNA, and you present it and you say, Father, thank you for what has been represented here. Thank you, Father, for the precedence that you've done this and you're going to do it again, and you acclimate to what's in it. You will integrate into the DNA. You will carry something that may be 5-10 years ahead of the church at large. Amen? Because that's what things do. We're forerunners. We're pioneering things. That's the nature of it. You know, sometimes you arrive at the gate early. If you're super hungry, you'll get to the gate. And God said, well, hey, we got to wait for people to arrive here. You know, it's like, open this gate. God said, you got to have a bunch of you at this gate if you want me to open this, because this is a corporate thing. So everybody got to get to the gate, amen? Everyone say, run to the gate. Hallelujah. It's not fun sitting at a gate to say, open, open. It's a corporate gate. It has to have a corporate body. Can't have 1-2 people standing at the gate. You know what I mean? It has to have a body. The intercessor is the most important function. You know, we have such an awesome core of intercession here. The Lord Jesus walked into my room. I didn't see him, but I felt him. I hit the floor immediately. The glory of God was all over the room. I was trembling under his presence. He speaks to me. He said, with this deep voice, I want to introduce you to the heavenly lawyer. And I felt the Holy Spirit come up from behind me. And this is how I was introduced to what I term spiritual constitution. And the Holy Spirit says, I want to teach you how to represent your future and what you're called to do before the throne of grace, because you're going before a supreme court. It's just like any other court. The Father has to rule, and He rules by favor, because there's an accuser of the brethren that's constantly presenting evidence of why you shouldn't have it. And you've got to bring evidence. And God honors one thing above all things, and it's His Word. And He wants to teach you how to form and forge. You know, we didn't know what we were doing, but they got better and better and better. Amen? Now they're there. This constitution for generational inheritance. It's necessity as intercessors. We get this into our DNA. Amen? Because this is what's ultimately going to birth. If you want something that's not been done yet or hadn't been done in a while, you got to do something. Amen? You got to have something a little different. You got to be willing to do things different. Look at things differently. See things differently. Amen? I don't want to run around in what is. I want to run around in what shall be. Amen? Hallelujah. I like being on the cut edge. I don't care about building a whole mass of people. The reason is because I want to see His glory and His power manifest. I want to see the manifest presence of God, because that's what will fundamentally shake a city up if you stay with it. You got to birth it, keep it, and stay with it. You got to stay humble. Stay pure with it. But something has to fundamentally guide that. It can't just be an outpouring and visitation. It has to be habitation. It's there by the fountains. The Bible says, I'll cause the hungry to dwell that they may prepare a city of habitation. It's by the waters. Apostolic government. Why is this so important? Because we identified something through the lampstand that the early church had. What I mean by the lampstand of the Word. The Word will look into things. The Word, the Spirit of revelation. The Word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. How do we get to where we're going? I mean, do we just say, Father, give it to us? Or is there a journey to it? If you look at the precedence of God, there's always a journey to anything. Amen. We have the journey in the Spirit. How do we find the doors and the gates of revival and the gates of wealth transference and the gates of apostolic government? Where do those gates live? What opens those gates? Well, God opens. Yeah, I understand that. Well, let me tell you, there's a master key in this one right here that we as intercessors, if you believe in this, there's one key that's going to open this apostolic government that's not presently been restored yet. Did you know that? There is something the early church had that we don't have, and this constitution's full of that. It's called the corporate eyewitness. I don't hear anybody preach about it. What is the corporate eyewitness? Behold, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Everybody goes back to Azusa Street. They want to get back in there. And they have big Azusa Street rallies 100 years after. That was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. We got it. But they still had something. The other half of that verse. That you may be my witnesses. My eyewitnesses. The whole church was birthed from the eyewitness. Every single apostle saw the Lord in an eyewitness state. They saw Him. They spoke with Him. He opened the books to them. The first thing He gave them in His ascension. What's the very first thing He gave them after His resurrection? Stood before them. He hadn't even given them the revelation yet. Stood before them in an eyewitness state. Be at peace. 7 different times He appeared to them before His ascension to the Father. 7. John saw Him in His glory. Stephen saw Him sitting at the right hand of God. 500 brethren at one time saw Him. The whole church, the 120, we proved in the upper room, saw Him. The whole church was birthed out of that. And when He appeared to them, it was like the third time He appeared, He said He opened the books. He opened the book of Psalms and prophets. And He began to teach them who He was. And that's the first messages that Peter preaches. You don't know this, but you know the underlying current of every message in the book of Acts? Underlying message, right hand of God and resurrection. That was their message. Traced it out, preached it, went through the entire book of Acts. Men were trying to kill Paul because of his testimony. He told King Agrippa, he goes, all these people follow me, Jerusalem, want to kill me this day. It's because of one thing. It's not because I was a Pharisee. It wasn't because I kept the law. It's one thing, because I bear witness of his resurrection, because I have seen him. And it's a master key to the power of God, because the Holy Spirit stands as an eyewitness. He stands as a demonstrator to our eyewitness. You see, power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be my witness of what you see, that I am a God that's been raised from the dead. That's what this is about. This is the master key that's going to unlock the power. With great power, say great power, gave the apostles witness of the resurrection. They were eyewitnesses of the resurrection because it was in there. We found something that they had. Look, if you're going to ask God to do what they did, you might want to find out what they had. That's what the lampstand does. It traces in there. It looks into the words and, whoa, there's something they have we don't have. Oh, that's half of the other verse. Which hold, you'll see power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be my eyewitness. Their message was the resurrection. Their message was the bear witness of his ascension into the right hand. They all saw him come up. The man who took Judas's place. This is what's in here, by the way. I just want you to know what's in here. You're the intercessors of this place. The man that saw him go up. Acts chapter 1, they cast lots for the next apostle to take Judas's place. The lot fell upon Matthias. Matthias, however you want to say it. You know what his qualification was? Turn over there. I want you to see it. Acts chapter 1. This is what we are called to do. I want to explain. We are called to birth. It's my job to keep us in compass alignment of where we're going. Hey, wouldn't that be awesome if we grab a hold of a master key that's been dangling there in the Word the whole time? Said, here's the master key. What right do you have to ask to see the Lord? I'm not asking to see the Lord for some supernatural experience. I've already entered into the right hand of God. I've already borne witness with it for 65 messages. Well, I don't need anybody to convince me that his ascension, the right hand of God. I need it for the testimony to the world, because the way God's going to explode upon the world, my friends, the kind of miracles that are coming is the message of the resurrection to the world. That is what you preach to a lost person. There's only one thing you preach to a lost person, and that's Christ crucified and resurrected. That's the only thing, and the Holy Ghost will come and say, yes! He is the king that was set upon the hill of Zion. He is the only heir the Father respects. You got to come through him. And the Holy Ghost says, yes, I will back that up with great power. That's something we as intercessors are called to do, this right here. Father, I thank you for the establishment of the eyewitness testimony. I thank you, Lord, for the restoration of the eyewitness testimony. But you got to understand it. On the website, in the right hand of God section, there is a section called Authentic Apostolic Government. It's composed of two major themes. The revelation that they preached, their message. There's four messages. We go through the book of Acts. We show you what they were preaching. You know the first two messages? You know what they are? Resurrection, right hand of God. You know what Paul's message was? Resurrection, right hand of God. They were all bearing witness to the person they saw. The first thing the Lord did, showed himself alive. The reason why apostles don't have any power is they don't have the eyewitness yet. That's why there's power in the church like that. Everyone's looking for the power. There's a key that has to be restored. It's part of the major component infrastructure of the way God did it. He gave them the Holy Ghost. He gave them the message. First thing he did, he gives them the eyewitness. Second thing he does is give them the message. And he says, wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. Go to the apostolic government, 17 teachings on there. You'll understand what's in this constitution. You'll understand the importance of what's in this constitution and why this has to be restored for an authentic apostolic government. If their power was in bearing witness of the resurrection, what do you think our power is? Well, we do preach of the resurrection. We preach of him. Yes, but theirs is different because they were eyewitnesses. If I go before the judge, and I said, Judge, I'm here on the behalf of my wife, Anna. She witnessed the car wreck. She could not be here, but because we are one flesh, she just sent me and told me, and I trust everything she said, and I trust you'll trust everything I say. He said, Sir, I really appreciate that you're a pastor and you're a man of integrity, but I cannot accept your witness because it was not eyewitness. Does that mean we're not the witness in the world because we have not eyewitness? No. That's not what it's saying. What it's saying is there is still something left undone. The Holy Spirit has been restored. The message of the resurrection and right hand of God has been restored. There's one component left. We as intercessors need to be wise in our intercession. Say wise. What we need to look for is what's in these pages. God, we're still looking for something. But hey, right here is the precedence. You did this in the early church. You birthed the early church. This was their message. We have this message, and we need this final component. The restoration of a community of believers bearing eyewitness testimony. I can assure you, this is cutting edge right here. It is cutting edge as it gets. When the Holy Ghost came, they already had the eyewitness. First rattle of the box, they preach the resurrection. They preach the right hand of God. They preach Psalm 16. And Peter says, we are all, the whole upper room, are eyewitnesses of these things. Speaking of the Holy Ghost, he said, he will testify of me, and you also will bear witness. See that? He will testify, you will bear the eyewitness. Acts 5, that's repeated. How many of you want to see revival? How many think it's going to fall out of the sky? Listen, this is the component that made it work. It was the key that turned it. It was one of three keys that turned it. But it was the first key he gave them, the eyewitness. He gave them the message, and then he said, wait for the Holy Spirit. We have two of the three keys. All we need is the final key. And it'll unlock the door with great power. The last day apostles will bear eyewitness testimony of the Lord. It's not meant for the church. It's meant for the world. This is how you're going to harvest the world. There are miracles for the church and there's miracles for the world. That miracle stage is a demonstration stage. And the Holy Spirit will go out there and demonstrate to bear witness of what they are saying. Because he didn't call us to preach a gospel without truth. We as intercessors, this is exactly what I'm talking about. You can go in here and be in here over and over again and miss the heartbeat of what's being done here. We as intercessors, to hold it and to keep it and say, Lord, we see a key here. Here's the precedence. You did it. We have a key here. Here's the precedence. You'll do it again. Because we are apostles, but we're in active restoration, and we have something that's not been restored yet. Wealth transference comes off one of the olive trees. Revival comes off the other olive tree. The government is composed of two main operations. A kingly operation of wealth transference, a priestly operation of apostolic government. One river flowed to the Dead Sea of humanity. The other river was broken in half, Zechariah 14, and flowed to the great sea of commerce, the Mediterranean Sea, where all the commerce of the nations. See, the waters carry the government. The two olive trees drip with continual oil that never stops dripping. We hold the Constitution and said, let the oil flow. Let the kingly oil flow. But we need a release of this government like no other release. We got a release of a little power. All that power is doing, he's acclimating us as a body to operate in that power. But we still as intercessors have to get up in there and hold this and say, God, it is your word. It is the foundation of the early church, and it will be our foundation too, because it's set Right there! We stand on it, Lord. We stand on this living word. If you're intercessors, this is what we are. It's what we do. If we're missing something, we can keep laboring, laboring, laboring. We are supposed to labor while we're waiting, but we need to be in faith, and we need to be targeted faith. This is a major component. You've got to see it. You have to understand why the eyewitness is so important. You got to get your head and your spirit around it. You got to understand it. You're dealing with a courtroom out there that the devil said, this is my world. They are spiritually dead and they belong to me. And we enter into a domain of darkness and we say, no, there is a new Savior. And we come to bear witness that you can come out of that darkness, and we have seen him with our eyes. We bear witness with his word. We speak of the resurrection. We speak of his right hand. 2,000 years, he's still reigning out of the right hand of God. And the Holy Ghost says, yes, and I will come and bear the witness also. It takes something where you've got to go in and you've got to renew your mind. The way things have been doing, I promise you, if you've ever listened to anything I say, this is the master key that will unlock the apostolic government. The Holy Ghost was the master key, but he's been restored. We have him. Amen? When I say restored, he was always here, except he's been restored at the church at large. The understanding of the baptism of the Holy Spirit's been given. Amen? Hallelujah. We mark out every single eyewitness account, 24 eyewitnesses accounts. We give them to you, both in heaven and the earth. We map out the doctrine in here. We map out something. It's like, if we don't have it, then we should focus our prayer on getting it. When you go up and ask God for the eyewitness, we better have some testimony, because I'm not just going to go wanting to see the Lord just for to see him. But the fact is, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, the opening of the book of Acts. After his passion by many! Acts chapter 1. Their job, they saw the Lord 7 times. 2 different times he broke the books open to them. Isn't that awesome? Jesus taught them of the resurrection and the scriptures concerning the right hand of God in person. And then he says, wait for the promise of the Holy Ghost. That was what they were waiting on. Everything's going back. Everything's coming back to full restoration. Apostolic office is in restoration mode. Amen? So what we're waiting on? We have the Holy Spirit. He's waiting on something. You got to realize that. He's waiting on the eyewitness testimony to be restored to the apostolic office. So when we speak, we have seen him. Eyewitness, firsthand testimony. Peter said, I am an eyewitness of his majesty. Holy Ghost said, yes, and I've come to testify on their behalf that Christ is indeed alive. And that's when he releases apostolic demonstration. Say, with great power gave he the apostles of Houston, Texas, witness of the resurrection. You see power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you to be my eyewitnesses. Do you know when he said that to them in Luke? He said that to them in Luke 24. Luke was just recounting it in Acts chapter 1. Do you know when he said that to them? He was standing in front of them in an eyewitness state. He told them to him in Luke chapter 24. When we get this, we will see what everyone's looking for. And it will be transferable. I believe we're going to be able to preach this in the apostolic networks, and the Lord Jesus is going to show up, and because they're going to understand the importance of it. Amen? Paul said he was seen of all the apostles, establishing the fact that to be an apostle, when he said it in 1 Corinthians 9, you know what he said? He said, am I not an apostle? Have I not seen the Lord? In other words, he was making reference, if you're an apostle, you've seen him. There are apostles today in this hour that have not seen the Lord because we're back into that restoration mode. because it's not fully in. But I can tell you, if you are an apostle or you're called to an apostle or you're in an apostolic network, you have a right to see the Lord. There's scriptural precedence for it. The first one out of the gate, 3,000 born again. The first miracle, 5,000 people born again off that miracle. 5,000. Peter preaches to them all. Resurrection, right hand of God. You don't always see that because you're always seeing the Holy Ghost flowing. You got to see what their message was. And it was the threefold core of the eyewitness, the message, the word of the resurrection and right hand of God, and the Holy Ghost. That's what made it work. And it was threaded through the entire book of Acts. Now watch this. Acts 1. I love this. Verse 16, men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake concerning Judas, was a guide to them that took Jesus, and he was numbered with us and obtained his ministry. So they talk about his fall. So verse 20, it says, it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, let no man dwell therein. So they're going to have to choose somebody new to be a part of the apostles. Watch the qualification here. Watch this, verse 21. Wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us. From the beginning of the baptism of John, there wasn't just 12 running around. There were 70 running around too. Those 70 were in the upper room with the 120. We get into that, how they got there. They were there and they choose one out of the 70. They choose two actually. Beginning from the baptism of John to the same day he was taken up from us, one must be ordained to be a witness with us of the resurrection. They could not be a part of the 12 unless they had saw the Lord in a resurrected state. That was his qualification. Why would it be any different with us? Do you know it just wasn't the apostles? It was everybody around them. You know the first persons that saw him? Anybody want to take a guess? The women. They all saw him. Salome, Joanna, Mary and Mary. They all saw him first. 120 saw him. 500 brethren at one time saw him before he was taken up before the Father. 500. When did they have a meeting with 500? They were gathered in the 120. Somewhere they had a meeting with 500 before he was taken up after that 40th day. 500 saw him. Apostles may go out to the world, but the witness is corporate. It won't be up to one person. It's not enough. Wasn't enough then, it won't be enough now. He is going to release it corporately. Boy, when you get this, watch out power. If you want something that's not his, you got to do something you've never done. How about the eyewitness? That would be a key to turn the whole thing open. Pow! This is this. I'll close. Wherefore these men have accompanied with us time beginning to be witness of his resurrection. They appointed two called Joseph, Barsabbas, whose surname Justice, and Matthias. And they prayed and said, Lord, thou knowest the hearts of all men, whether of these two should be chosen, and they may take part of the ministry and apostleship. Look at that. Take part of the ministry and apostleship. Take part of the ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell that he might go to his own place. They gave forth their lots. The lot fell upon Matthias and he was numbered among the 11 apostles. He called it a ministry to bear witness of his resurrection. He was numbered of the 12 because he saw the Lord. It was the only qualification. He had to be with them from the time of the baptism of John until the Lord was taken up. That was his qualification. How many of you believe he'll restore it? How many of you understand that apostolic government a little more? Now listen, that's the foundational release of it. Once it releases, it spreads its wings into two great rivers or two great olive trees or king priest government after the order of Melchizedek. It's going to flow. It's going to release in power, and it's going to release, well, guess what else it opens? Wealth transference. We bear witness that he is the king that was set upon the holy hill of Zion. We bear witness that he is an apostolic high priest. What is the king? He goes, I'll set my king upon the holy hill of Zion. I'll declare the decree. Ask of me, son, thou art my son. This day I've begotten thee. Paul speaks of that in Acts chapter 13. I'll close with this, I think. He said he was speaking of his ascension in the right hand of God. Psalms 2 was directly speaking of Christ's ascension as the brand new heir. Adam fell, God, I have a new heir. Now ask of me, son, my heir, the nations for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts for thy possession. Worthy is the Lamb to have received power and riches. I will bring a seed out of Jacob, out of Judah, an inheritor of my promises. He inherited the mountains of Judah, in particularly one mountain, Mount Hebron. It touched the lives of Abram, Caleb, David, Solomon. We can't be going doing something way out there. God has called us to something. He's calling us to be focused. He's calling us into a foundation. He's calling us into a birth. You can't be just attaching everything and everything out there and just getting all strung out in every direction. There are people that are facilitating. There are people birthing. If we're intercessors, you are called here as an intercessor. We are called to birth what the Holy Ghost is doing, and this is what He's doing.